29 January 03. We are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. And we have moved to the next to the last segment of our study. And this is the seven-headed dragon. The seven-headed dragon, it's in our soul. And we have looked at the seven-headed dragon. And right now we are looking, we're going to look tonight again a little bit on the first head. And the reason I want to do that is because the first head of the seven-headed dragon is so crucial. And I want to show you why and how it relates to everything. So let's begin with the word of prayer. I don't know why other members of this church are not here for this study. Maybe they don't need it, in their opinion. But to me, this is so important. And I think tonight is just another insight as to with a lot of Christians. So let's begin with the word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to the things that are going on inside of our soul. Last night, revelation, what's going to happen way down the line in history may happen begin tonight, but from the time in which it was written. But this involves you every day in every area of your life and your relationships with one another. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Father, when we consider the wonders of your love for us. When we consider how you have provided for every part of our being. Demonstrates to us, Father, your love, your thoughtfulness, what kind of God you are. We pray now that your Spirit, whom you've also provided for us, will help us to see what you would have us to see in your scriptures, which you have provided for us. All of these things provided that we can not experience, do not have to experience stress in our soul and anxiety in our being and depression. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we spent last week, our first week, on the first head of the seven-headed dragon, which was fear. And I was about ready just to close that up and move to the second one. But I realized we don't have to spend as much time on the others. Maybe some of them a couple of them one night. But this one is fundamental. And I want to look at just a little bit more about how fear, the impact of fear, as it relates to Satan's lie. Now, you can't be brought to the lie too much. Every day is to your advantage to start your day off. And having your understanding Satan's lie, having your understanding God's truth. But let's look at Satan's lie that controls and causes so much of this thing called fear, and well, the fear causes called stress, anxiety, and depression. Satan's lie is this: that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, and by that we could really include here certain others' opinion of me. I want to talk about this with fear before we leave fear and go on to the next one. I want to take a look at the first part. I want to look at just the first part with you, so stay with me on what we're looking at. I want to look at, in Satan's lie, the first part of my self-worth is my performance. And let's look at that in reference to it in regard with the factor of the first head of the seven-headed dragon of fear. And it goes something like this: I must perform. I must perform to feel good for self-acceptance. This is before others as well as before God, but it deals with myself. I must perform at the standard that I have set for myself. You may have gotten it from others, but it's the standard. I must perform according to the Narman standard for myself in all areas of my life. Now, if you live under Satan's lie, which is what you do if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression, If you experience, or if you live under Satan's lie at this level, let me show you what's going to happen to you inside. What's going to happen to you inside is you're going to be dominated by the fear. You're going to be dominated by fear. Now, what is the first area I want to talk about? You're going to be dominated by the fear of failure. That's what you're going to be dominated by. If you have set up a performance standard for your self-worth, you're going to be dominated by a fear of failure. Fear that you are going, that you're not going to perform at the level where you're going to feel good about yourself. You set up the steps you have to do. Let's start out as children. We get these things imposed upon us by our parents, but we pick it up ourselves, grades in school. My self-worth is the grades I make. Now, we all have our own areas, so this is, I'm not in, don't say, oh boy, he's just pure all the way. I'm not saying that. I never did worry about the grades I made. That probably was my problem on the other way. Some people have developed fear of failure. And boy, they just put a lot of pressure on themselves. And I looked at a D as easily as I would look at a B. It just, okay, and I got things to do now. And move on. But other people put such a standard on themselves, from their home maybe, of performance. And that is their self-worth, their grades. It can be not just their grades. It can be other things such as school, as the issue in athletics, arts, academic affairs. And you start off and you start developing this fear of failure, and a lot of kids that are more than qualified, they won't enter the, for an example, they won't enter the science fair. They won't enter into some athletic adventure. Why? Fear of failure. If I do this, I've got to be the best. I've got to perform at an expected norm and standard of my parents, of myself. And if I don't, then I don't have good self-esteem. And this thing starts developing through their life. This is where a lot of children start becoming what we call perfectionists. That's not a good thing. A lot of people throw it around like, oh, I'm a perfectionist. That means you have a lot of problems in your self-worth. And causes a great deal of problems. There are a lot of people experiencing a great deal of stress and depression and anxiety because of, I'm a perfectionist. And I'll go through a couple other things that comes from it, but that's one. This goes along all through life, having to perform to some standard set up by self or by others for your self-worth. In your marriage, performance, fear of failure as a wife, fear of failure as a husband. And the wife and the husband are right there to tell you that you're a failure, that you're not living up to expectations. Now comes the fear of the failure. Fear of failure drives a lot of people, Christians, to succeed. And by that I mean to succeed at all costs. A disdain for those who do not perform at your level. This type of fear of failure soon leads to not even trying to do things. Afraid you'll fail. A withdrawal. It now goes into a withdrawal from life, from taking adventures. Seeing these things as a risk. A risk of what? A risk of failure. A risk to be avoided. And this is the way a lot of people handle stress, anxiety, and depression that comes from fear, the first head of the seven-headed dragon. It's the best way to avoid it. Just don't try. I can't fail if I don't try. A lot of people will take lesser jobs, lesser places in society, lesser everything because of this fear. Because I'm taking a chance, I might fail. Soon this fear is going to lead to complete withdrawal. Always looking for or taking jobs if you work at all. You'll find a lot of these people find every reason in the world not to work. They got all kinds of reasons filling why they can't work. What really is going on is this head of the seven-headed dragon in our soul and the stress, anxiety, and depression. I don't know where they get the statistics like this, but I just heard this week on the radio, over 70% of the people who suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression in America don't even know it. I don't know how you couldn't know it. But they say, well, I guess I do. You get so involved in avoiding and all of this that you're an artist at it, and you never deal with the real problem. So a lot of these people won't even work. But you avoid taking a job what you'll do is you will take a job that is obviously below your ability, but not below your expectation. Because you know you won't fail if you did that. But to take a job that would be corresponding to a real challenge, no. Because of fear of failure. You know, okay, I could succeed and everything will be cool. But if I try that one, I may fail. And then comes in the fear of the failure. Now let's talk about the spiritual life. This fear of failure flows into your spiritual life. Fear of not performing to the standard that you have set up. What is Christian performance? Okay, it's fear of failure to perform as a Christian should in your mind. And you've been taught or told. And what happens with this is another withdrawal in spiritual significance of your life, running away from it. Now, stay with me because this gets tricky. I want to relate it to something that's very important to us here. Let's talk about faith. I want to talk about faith a moment. We don't talk about faith enough around here. So we need to talk about it with this study. Okay. Here's what we want to do here. Just think with me through this. As we have seen many times, people claim, mainly from the book of James, many people claim to be doing faith. They claim to be living by faith. But their faith is dead, James says. It's not the faith God is looking for, and we've dealt with that. Now, I want to tell you something about the abuse of faith and the misunderstanding of what faith is. There are many Christians who do nothing spiritually, even don't even attend church, study the scriptures, and they claim this is by faith. But it's not faith, it's fear. Their fear of failure of walking by the leading of the Spirit. One strong reason many people prefer to live by law. That's going to sound weird, because there's a fear in living by law. But one reason that many people prefer to live by law is the fear of failure of living by faith in the Holy Spirit. I just can't do that. I'll really fail. You see, what I need is a direction. I need to know what God wants me to do. And then I'll know I didn't fail. So I make a list, or my preacher makes a list of things I ought to do. I ought to be in Bible class every night, learn Bible doctrine. I ought to be morally good. I ought to have a charismatic experience. I ought to serve God in some way. I like to have it down. Why? Because I'm afraid of faith. Doesn't sound funny? I can't trust trusting. I don't know if that's really doing it. And so many people will choose and prefer to live by law. Live by law because it's a fear of failure in living by faith. Conversely, by the way, many fear living by law. Why? Fear of failure. And in a way that's good. But they claim to be living by faith. Not performing in life, this is what God would want me to do. Claiming that their withdrawal, spiritually even, is of God. It's not of God. It's a fear. It's a fear of failure. Many believers do not walk or live by the law. Not because, now listen, they do not live by the law, not because they know that the law is not what God desires us to live by. They fear failure. If I live by the law, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fail. So therefore, I'm not going to live by the law. But it's not out of understanding that God never intended us to live by the law. It's because I fear living by the law. Now, let's talk about God's solution. Let's talk about God's solution to the fear of performance. Now, last week we left off in 1 John with His love, the solution of His love. Let me read it to you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We did that last week. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, one other issue needs to be covered tonight under the fear and Satan's lie that I want to look at a moment while we're coming back here. We saw last week that there is no fear in love. But in stress, anxiety, and depression caused by Satan's lie, the fear of failure, now listen with me, the fear of failure is often accompanied by the fear of punishment. The fear of failure accompanied by fear of failure or fear of punishment. Now, first of all, just fear of failure. But that is going to lead to the fear of punishment. I want to talk about that in a moment. Fear of punishment. That's what a lot of people, their view of God. If I fail, God's going to punish me. And they live that way. That's why a lot of people retreat from the whole spiritual life. It's like the bird that sticks its head in the ground. If I just avoid the whole issue, I don't have to deal with what even God's going to do with me. Last night we stopped at studying death and Hades. It's very nice just to avoid the whole deal of death. Then you don't have to think about what happens when I die. Where do I go? A lot of people have developed the technique. They don't go to funerals. They don't do anything because they don't have to think about it. And this is why a lot of people retreat from Christianity, because they don't have to deal with this. All right, but let's talk about the fear of punishment. If you believe, oh, by the way, let me give you a principle, introductory principle. If you fear the punishment from God, it often leads to you punishing others. Can often tell a person who lives by the fear of punishment from God, because this person always wants to be sure others are punished. If you believe that God is going to always get you, punish you, take something away from you, when you sin or when you fail, then you're going to see to it that others are going to be punished by something, some way that you can get involved in it. Punished. Because you're going to be punished by God. They've got to be punished by God. So now this fear of punishment has now moved into another area of your life of seeing to it that others are punished when they sin or fail around you. It could be in the home, your children, your husband, wife, the church, even at work, if possible, social life. Now, this was the thinking and the desire of Job's three friends. Now, let's put a title on Job's three friends so we can talk of today, Christians. These three Christian friends of his. What did they immediately assume? Job sinned. That's why he's going through all he's going through. You're being punished, Job. That's the view of God. That's their fear. And I wish we had time to spend the whole night on going through Job and dealing with this concept of fear. But that's what Job's three friends thought. He must have committed some kind of horrible sin before God, and therefore he now deserves what he's getting. And many Christians live like this. If something happens to some other Christian, some unfortunate thing, or they lose something, marriage or money or health or whatever, oh, you must have sinned. So what the disciples said, come across a blind man, and Christ stops and looked, and his first question out of their mouth, what did he or his parents do? That had to happen to him. A lot of Christians live under fear of failure, and therefore fear of punishment, and therefore put that on other people. The fear of failure and the fear of punishment, what God might do to me. This is the way so many Christians live their life. What God might do to me. What God will tell. And therefore it causes them to judge others harshly and want them to be punished. Let me give you another example of what happens with this fear. Fear of punishment often leads to becoming angry at God. Because somebody who they know is in sin is prospering. Causes them to be angry at God. What are you doing, God? Those people are horrible. They're just horrible people. And it doesn't even have to be somebody you know. I've heard Christians talk about, man, I don't understand why these unbelievable derelicts, Michael Jackson, or just go on and name whoever you want to name in the world, drug dealers. And boy, they live 2-3 houses, lots of money. Come on, God, get with it. They ought to be punished, because I'd be punished. Boy, if I did that, man, I'd be punished, or I want them to be punished. Starts working on your whole system of thought. This fear of punishment can lead you to just becoming angry at God about something that is none of your business. But you become angry at God because you want what? You want everything. You fear what God might do to you, and that fear controls you. So you want to see that others are punished also. Okay? Since so many Christians are in fear because of Satan's lie, living under Satan's lie, fear of failure to perform, we need to look at a few other things about this head of the seven-headed dragon. Not just what we did last week. I want to look at something else tonight with you. And what is interesting here, that many Christians do not even know what is going on inside of them. While they have not identified fear of failure. I don't have a fear of failure. I don't live under Satan's lie. But they have identified many of the symptoms of the fear of failure. And when you start doing that, you start seeing where you really live. Okay, now you might want to write this down. I want to recommend a book to you. I don't do that very often. I don't do it very often, one, not because I don't read books, because I do. But because there's just often so much that you have to weed in and out of. But I'm going to recommend this book. If you are listening to this and tapes or the internet or however you're listening, and now even by CD, I guess, and you experience stress, anxiety, and depression, I highly recommend a book by Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T-S, McGee, capital M-C, capital G-E-E. The title of the book is The Search for Significance. It will help you. It will help you. Now, what he has done that we're going to borrow from here, he has put together some works of God that correspond to some of the heads of our seven-headed dragon. We may have to put together our own for some of the others, but he's done an excellent job on setting you into thinking of what God has done and how wrong it is for you to be living under stress, anxiety, and depression of fear, from fear. Now, it's so easy for me to say, one, don't walk by Satan's lie. If you won't do that, you won't experience this fear. But let's look at another truth that you can look at. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Now, what we're going to look at in Romans chapter 5 here, what we're looking at is, what is God's solution to The fear of failure related to performance. Myself worth is because of my performance. And what he's going to point out to you, to us, is in this passage, and what McGee puts with it. And I love the way he does this. That's why I highly recommend this book. We're going to look at justification. If you know anything about justification, and most Christians know a little bit, many Christians today, I'm sorry, don't know very much at all because their pastors don't teach. But if you know about a little bit about justification, most Christians stop the impact of justification at the cross. They stop there. Okay, that's my salvation. I'm born. I have everlasting life. I'm justified. Done. Forget it. It's a nice doctrine. Nice thing to understand theologically. But don't worry about it. It's a done deal. Okay, that's why you live under Satan's lie and come under fear. Let's take a look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, coming off of four chapters. Therefore, after chapters 1 through 4, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often we have turned to Romans chapter 5, 1, 2, and 3, to this passage. But most of those times, I guess every time, we've been looking how we are justified. We've done this a lot. But we've often looked on how we're justified. That was my big, big thing. By faith. Not by works, but by faith. But now I want to look, take a different twist with you. Let's look at it from the standpoint of justification. I don't know if you've given much thought to justification. I'm not going to say how many of you thought about justification today. And I'm not going to say how many of you thought about justification when you've experienced stress and depression. But I want to show you that you can, that you should. It should come to your mind. Let's take a look at it. Think about this in the midst of stress, anxiety, and depression, fear, failure, and punishment. If you understand justification, okay, if you, one, understand it, understand what justification is. And two, and here's the kicker. This is the kicker when you're going to experience stress, anxiety, and depression and Satan's lie. Believe it. Believe justification. And then three, live it. If you will live what we're getting ready to look at now, it's this simple. It just cannot be this simple to get rid of fear. Performance. I mean, I've dealt with this all my life. I've dealt this when I was a little girl. I've dealt with this since I was a little boy. This is why I've let people walk on me. This is why this has happened. This is why that's happened. Fear of faith. And you're coming along and tell me that it is this simple. I don't need to invest thousands of dollars with a shrink. Even a Christian one, who's going to take you thousands of dollars and play games with your mind. Or drugs, you don't need that. But all I need to do is properly understand something that has already happened to me, believe it, and then live it. Yeah. Just like I showed you, how easy is it to tear down those strongholds that are in our soul in 2 Corinthians? How easy is it to tear down those strongholds? Can they really be torn down simply by trusting Him to do it? Yeah. What's my proof of all of that? Can it be that easy that you're going to be saved eternally? Can it really be that easy that you're going to be saved eternally just by trusting Him? Yeah. Few Christians have really tapped in to all that God has provided. So we need to understand justification, believe it, and then live it. And let's see what I mean by that. See if we can get into this. Justification. Justification. This is not just something that happened as part of your saving, at the moment of your saving faith in Jesus Christ. But people, justification is something that should affect your everyday life, especially if you're in fear of failure, especially if you're in fear of punishment, especially if you're going to live under Satan's lie. Get out from under it. I don't need to go any further than what McGee has pointed out here with this, with the principle of justification. You just trust Him. You just trust what God has already done. This is part of our study on living who you are in Christ. If you will understand who you are in Christ, if you will believe who you are in Christ, if you will live who you are in Christ, you won't live under Satan's lie, and you won't have to battle with the seven-headed dragon where it starts destroying your life. Now let's take a look. Justification. What is it? What is that 50-cent theological word? It's the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. It's forgiveness of sins. Past, present, future. Done. I know pastors now that are teaching that sins after salvation have not been paid for, not been taken care of. What a tragedy what they're doing to people. Past, present, and future. They're taken care of, forgiven. You don't have to be in fear of God, people. God help you if you fear God that way. Now, I'm not talking about a fear of an awe and a respect. But a fear of God, He's going to do things to you. Just claim what is already yours in justification. Justification, continuing, is the remission of sin and absolution from guilt and punishment. That's what justification is. You believe you were justified at the cross? Let me continue now in an understanding of justification. An act of grace where God pardons the sinner of all sins and accepts you as righteous. This is how God accepts you. Accepts you as righteous because of the atonement of Christ. God accepts you as righteous people, not by any performance standard. Not by performance, at the cross, after the cross, anywhere. This is what you are before God. You are justified before God. This is your status before God all the time. I know you may not feel justified sometimes, some horrible failure or sin. I know how. And I know when your Christian friends get through with you, you're really down like Job was. But I'm here to tell you, don't do that with God. Don't do that with God. Don't live in that fear. This is your status all the time before God. When He sees you, this is how He sees you. I don't care how man sees you. This is how He sees you. Right here is where so many Christians believe they can lose their salvation, by the way. Right here. They do not trust the work of Christ on the cross. They do not trust what God has done for them. So out of fear, when they sin and fail, they fear they're going to be losing it. I'm going to lose my salvation. That's why the believers in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, which is the big problem, not verse 9 is not the big problem. Big problem is verse 8, where they denied that they sinned. Why did they deny they sinned? Fear. Fear God's going to take it away from me. Fear God's going to take it away from me. So therefore, live in that fear. And deny. Get into all kinds of other problems. But this is why many Christians think they can lose their salvation. They don't understand justification, they don't believe it, and they don't live it. You are justified forever. People, let me tell you something tonight, if you're suffering from fear of punishment and performance, you cannot lose justification, and you cannot improve it. There is no performance that you can perform that is going to improve it, or that is going to take it away from you. None. Believe who you are in Christ and live who you are in Christ. Let's look at Romans 1, 5:1 again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 through 4, chapters 1 through 4, primarily deal with salvation 1, the need of receiving salvation 1, or need of receiving justification. But once you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, that's taken care of. I know those of you that are distressed and depressed tonight don't really care about this, but one of my friends here, James, wants to have another study on Thursday night, and there's so many things I'd like to do, but one of the first one, probably is the book of Romans. While it may look like it's so long, if you correctly understand what's happening in Romans, it's so beautiful. It's like Galatians is the primer of all of Paul's teaching. Romans is just an elaboration of it, filling in some more space. Remember when I used to write papers in college? I never had a problem writing papers. I know a lot of people do. I never had a problem. I just would start out with my outline, and depending on how long the teacher wanted it. You want a 2-page paper? Simple. You want a 25-page paper? I just keep packing it in, throwing stuff in each of the sections of the outline. I'd go to the library and find different things and just pad it up. Well, Galatians is just the basic. It's just your basic outline about the Christian life. Romans, he's going to put in some stuff now. Now, the first four chapters, see where Paul, Galatians starts off where we're believers. Here Paul starts and pads it up a little bit with four chapters on the necessity of salvation. Being saved, as it were. So that's the first chapters dealing with understanding it. That's the first thing happened. Now, once he is your Savior, that's taken care of forever. Look at your first sentence. Therefore. That therefore covers four chapters. Therefore, we've worked all through that, and you're now saved. Now, what if of your faith, saving faith in Christ? Having been justified. Boom. Done deal. Stop trying to be justified. Stop trying to perform. Stop fearing. You did not perform to be justified. You do not have to perform to keep it. It's yours. No fear of failure. Then it says, by faith. By faith. What does this tell you in regard to our study? You receive justification at the cross by faith alone. Oh, dear people who are suffering tonight from stress, anxiety, and depression. That's the same way you're going to receive justification in your life. Not by your performance. You don't have to perform for it. I know what a lot of pastors tell you, and I know what your Christian friends tell you. Now you've got to perform for justification. And if you sin, you're going to lose this and that and on and on. No, you receive experiential sanctification, or experiential justification, the same way you experienced it at the cross, people. And that's so great about God's plan. Just trust me. Just like you did at the cross, you just trust me, and boom, I wiped the slate clean. You're justified experientially. But you see, the reason I'm experiencing my stress and my anxiety and my depression tonight, preacher, you don't understand this. This has been going on for a long time. Since I was a child, or since this, since that. And I just, God just can't be satisfied with that, and on and on and on. Let me tell you something. That's what His grace does. No matter how good you think you were, how bad you realize you were at the cross, all you had to do is trust Him. Now, I'll tell you what happens with this kind of teaching. It's happened to me, and it happened to Paul, and it happened to any man who teaches spirituality by grace through faith. You're going to be accused of teaching license, liberality of sin, encouraging sin. That's why Paul had to write, do we sin that grace abound? God forbid. Question, does grace abound when we sin? Yeah. The moment you go back to faith, boom, it abounds. Do we sin so that we can get that? No. It's better to get the grace and the love of carrying on in the spiritual life, of walking in the Spirit. But it does continue to abound. And Paul is accused, and any man is going to be accused. But that's what I'm trying to tell you, people. Don't listen to those voices that do that to you tonight. And why you're where you are tonight listening to this tape, CD, or whatever. Don't let them do it. Don't let them take away what Christ has already done for you and who and what you are in Christ. Please don't let them do that. Now let's look at the Satan's lie, if you will. In the second part, let's try to finish this up. The second part of Satan's lie. Now, what's the second part of Satan's lie that we're going to be looking at? The first part of Satan's lie, if you recall, was that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus certain others' opinion of me. Let's talk about others' opinion of you and fear. Let's talk about others' opinion of you and fear. Fear, I'll put it on the board. Fear, now, fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. First part of Satan's lie, fear of performance, fear of punishment. Second part, fear of rejection. And that controls so many people in life. Fear of rejection. You'd be surprised how powerful this fear is in life. How many Christians are controlled by this fear of rejection from others? Many don't even know it. My self-worth equals the approval from others. Maybe your parents, teachers, coach, friends, pastor, husband, wife. Let me give you a very important principle here in this fear. Fear of rejection. And please take time to write it down if you're experiencing this. Take time to write it down. Put it on your forehead. Whosever opinion you need for your self-worth, that person controls you. That person controls you. They control your self-worth. They control your happiness or your lack of it. Please always remember this. Many Christians don't even realize that's what's going on. But if you need the approval of a friend, of a pastor, of somebody at work, at home, your social life, that person controls you. You're always thinking, what are they going to do? What are they going to think? Are they going to get me? Are they going to leave me? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? This is why some time ago I told you that many men understand this. And they control women by it. And they can take a woman and make her feel so great about herself, and in 30 seconds slam dunk her and make her feel so low. And then they look at her in so many words say, you see, lady, you better listen to everything I say and do what I say because I control you. This is what I can do to you. And because you've let them. Because their opinion of you is your self-worth. Many, many girls have given up their virginity. It has nothing to do with love. It has to do with fear of rejection. Far better out of love. And don't take that meaning teenagers ought to get in premarital sex, but I'm just saying they did it not out of love, but out of fear. People do a lot of things out of fear of rejection by others. So let me give you this principle. Whosever opinion you need for your self-worth, that person controls you. They control your self-worth. They control your happiness or lack of it. They can incite fear in you. You by that fear. But dear people, when you receive your self-worth from who you are in Christ, there is no fear. If anything, there's just enjoyment of other people. There's enjoyment of husband and a wife. We all want people to think nicely of us, but not to this extent. Not what we're talking about here. They don't control you, your self-worth, who you are. You are who you are in Christ. Let's talk about the need of approval, fear of rejection. Out of fear, you have to please at any cost. Out of fear of rejection, you have to please at any cost. You have to please your parents, your husband, your wife, friends, preacher, somebody, deacons. And you slowly lose your own identity. Now watch this. Watch what happens, how Satan's got you. People, all these things are how Satan gains control of us with those strongholds we studied in the soul. He knows all of this is going to happen. That's why he wants you under his lie. So that he can control you. He's the ultimate controller. Now, watch what happens here. This is really cool. My self-worth, that you're trying to get. Fear of rejection of others. So, in seeking your self-worth, you lose your own identity. And now you're really in trouble. Now you're really messed up. Now you may really need somebody to get in your head because you're really messed up. Because in trying to gain self-worth, in pleasing people, and living under fear of rejection, you've now lost your own identity. You don't even know who you are in trying to gain something. So you have to please these people. You slowly lose your own identity trying to gain your self-worth by them. Out of the drive to please others, you start doing what then? Withdrawing. Withdrawing from others to avoid that rejection. The best way to avoid rejection is just avoid people. You're not around people, they can't judge you. You're not around people, they cannot reject you. This need of approval of others, stay with me. This is very important in the spiritual realm. This need of the approval of others has ruined many Christians and prevented many from believing in Christ as Savior or being all that you are in Christ. I didn't go back and check, but I believe in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, somewhere we've looked at this verse, but we need to look at it again because it applies to where we are now. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 44. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 44. See what happens when you live under the fear of rejection. How can you believe? How can you believe in me when you receive glory, approval from one another? Got to have it. You do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Where do you receive it? Where you seek it? You seek it from one another. Do you know this has kept so many people from seeing the truth? It almost kept me from seeing the truth. But you got to hold on. You got to hold on to the approval of others to the point you won't dare to walk by faith in Jesus Christ or in the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. Out of fear of the rejection of others, many will not believe in Jesus Christ. My goodness, do you mean to tell me that my church, the Roman church, or this church, or that church, this denomination's teaching, and they've been teaching this all along on how to be saved and what I have to do to be saved and all of that, and you come along and tell me that it is just by a simple act of faith in Jesus Christ? Why can't do that? My friends would never understand, and I'd lose every one of them. My whole life is the church. My whole life is the church. My identity. My self-worth. Their approval of me. Their high esteem of me. And if I got them told them I'm walking away because I think it's just my faith in Jesus Christ, I'd lose all my friends. And I need them more than I need Christ. They control you. You fear losing their approval. You fear what they'll do to you. Many Christians live in the list of their church, the rules and what their church say to do. You come along and present, they hear the truth. No, it's just simply walk by faith in the Spirit. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'll lose my friends. They'll reject me. There's the fear of that rejection. So if you're in a religious stronghold, to even allow yourself proof that what you might be believing is wrong is so difficult if you live under Satan's lie. We won't turn to it. If you want to sometime, read Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 1 and following, where he says, if you go to circumcision, which is works, performance, Christ is of no benefit. You'll never turn to him, just him. You'll never turn to the Holy Spirit, just him. Because you've got your confidence, in this case, in what others may think of you. Now, what has God set up? McGee, I think, has picked up another good one here. What has God set up for this fear of rejection? Kind of living under Satan's lie in our case. Please look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Fear of rejection. even in the spiritual realm. What is God's solution? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. People, you don't have to perform to get God's opinion. He's already got one of you. You don't need to live in fear of God's rejection. He's not going to. I know what you've been told by others. Let's find out what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1, let's read verses 21 and 22. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in all evil deeds, not walking by faith, yet He, God, has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him. This is Jesus Christ presenting you before Him, God the Father, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. And that's not by your performance. That is not by your doing. That's by His doing. This is who you are in Christ. Oh, people, I know you don't feel blameless right now. I know you don't feel holy. And I know you don't feel beyond reproach if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, depression tonight. Believe me, I know you don't. That's why you're experiencing it. But I'm asking you to consider what God has already said. Consider who and what you are in Christ. In Christ, you are holy. In Christ, you are blameless. In Christ, you are beyond reproach. That's who you are, and don't let anyone take it from you. You do not need God's approval. You already have it. You may not have your friends, your husband, your wife, your children, the preacher, the church, and other people. You have God's. You've already got it. Stop working for it. Stop performing for it. Stop living in fear of losing it, which is exactly where Satan's lie wants to keep you. So this takes care of our understanding of fear. Now, next week I want to get into the second head of the seven-headed dragon inside of us. We'll take a look at anger. Fear and anger are very close. I don't have these necessarily set up in some kind of pattern, but let's take a look at anger next week, the seven-headed dragon's head of anger that's inside of us. I do hope that those of you that experience stress and depression consider who you are in Christ. This is not shrinks and doctors and drugs and therapy and all of that. I hope you consider who you are in Christ as the solution. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are. And how we just confuse and distort who you are to one another. But when we stand alone in the Scriptures and the power of your Spirit, we start getting a glimpse of what kind of God you are. And what you do with Satan's lie, and what you do with stress and depression and anxiety inside of us. It's just overwhelming what an awesome God you are. How you do everything and you provide everything if we just trust you. And then when we become healthy in Christ and in the Spirit, we move to living our life to be transformed into the image of Christ, but not out of fear. Not out of fear of failure and performance, but out of the love that your Spirit gives us, responding to His love given to us. Father, I pray again that you're taking them into the hands of those who hurt, that your Spirit can relieve them of stress and depression in their life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.